Been about a year ago, the Lord began to work with me on this. And I preach this type of message down through the years. And it's the type of message that needs to be preached in about every revival meeting, camp meeting, assembly meeting, because of the fact that we're mortal. We're going to die. And we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know how we're going to die. But we're going to die. Or we're going to meet God at the judgment, one or the other. So, the Lord began to give me a different slant on this, I guess you'd call it, different angle as I call it. And it stirred me. Stirred me to the depths. Because I'd never looked at it like I'm looking at it tonight. The seriousness of it and the power of it really got my attention when he began to deal with me. It was like a type of a mental vision, I guess you could say. And when you get into it, when I get into it, begin to really explain it, you'll see what I'm saying. Let's go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, please. Desire your prayers. About 24 and 42, the good book of Matthew said, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." So he says here, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." All right, let's go up to the 36th verse of this book. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also this coming of the Son of Man be." Now tonight, there's two points in this that I want to work with. Number one is, I want to work with the angle of watch. And tonight, people are not paying close enough attention. They're seeing a lot of things, but they're not really seeing the real thing. The devil has got their gaze locked in on a lot of pretty things out there and beautiful things and worldly things and so forth. Got them concentrating on that. And they're missing the real essence of what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. So consequently tonight, I want you and I to get an idea that you and I need to get our eyes open. We need to look around. We need to pay attention to what's really happening. The ball games are going to come and go. This is going to happen and that's going to happen. But the bottom line is, you and I need to be sure that we watch and see what God says. That's the most important thing. It's not what this president says or that congressman says or that senator says, but the bottom line is, what thus saith the Word of God? What thus saith the Lord? Because you and I are going to deal with Him one of these days. We're going to meet Him. We're going to stand face to face, so to speak. We're going to get out on our knees. We're going to meet an all holy and all wise and almighty God, all righteous God, one that is going to be able, with no problem at all, to say, "Depart from me," if you and I are not ready to meet Him. So it says, watch. It says, watch. Therefore. Watch therefore. Well, I want to get back up here at 35th verse. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." That's the days of Noah were. Now listen, saints, it don't take a PhD to figure out that what the Lord is saying in the Word of God here fits us perfect today. It said, "For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking." We've got the most eating and drinking nation. We've got more restaurants and fast food places, I guess, of any place in the world. They're out there. You don't have to go very far to find a place to eat. It may not be the best place in town, but you can get you something to eat. They're out there by the hundreds and thousands. People are marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. It went up right to the time. The thing about it was, Noah had been preaching preached to them for, 120 years. He'd been warning. He'd been telling them, there's going to be a flood. There's going to be an end. This and that. I don't know what all he said, of course. But the bottom line was, they were not stupid to the fact that when the flood came, that Noah had not told them over and over and over that there's going to be a happening. There's going to be a flood. But they looked over and they passed over and they done exactly what they wanted to do. And when they did, there was a flood and it came and it caught them all by surprise. In a way, we have a book, a children's book that, well, a series, if I remember right, we used to read stories to the girls out of. And on one of the deals in there was this very thing right here. It had a picture of the ark. It had the people standing over here. Had the door was open. Had the animals were coming in. Two by two and so forth. And they were going in and they were marching right into the ship. And they were standing there and they were marching and everything. And over here was a man. And he had an expression on his face that's hard for me to forget, so to speak. It was a picture of horror. In other words, Noah had been telling him. He hadn't listened to Noah. He hadn't paid no attention. And now then, by nobody leading them but the power of God, all these animals are going right in the ship. Right into the ark. And he's standing there and he's pointing, if I remember right, at the animals that are coming. And a look on his face. Oh, tonight, folks, I'm going to tell you there's going to be people that are going to come to the end. They're going to come to a time. They're going to meet God. And there's going to be horror there if there's not the blood applied to their doorpost. If they're not ready to go, if they're not saved and washed in the blood, they're going to be caught off guard. Listen tonight. Those people were there and they'd been told, listen tonight. We hear preaching over and over and over. We see things and know things. We know God's alive. We know He's an all-powerful God. And yet we keep passing up the opportunity. We keep turning Him down. We keep going on our own way. But folks, one day we will stop and deal with point. I'm ready or I'm not ready. We're going to deal with it. Be ready. Be ready. All right, let's go to the third verse of the 24th chapter of Matthew. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him, privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall the sign of the coming of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed, that no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences, earthquakes in divers or various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Listen, folks, again. Listen to what this is saying. Listen to what Christ is saying here to His people, to His disciples, to those that are going to take the Word and spread it and begin of the fire working of the Word of God throughout the kingdom. He said, number one, He said, take heed that no man. Are you deceived tonight? There is thousands upon thousands upon thousands, and maybe millions. Well, I'm going to go that far. There's millions of people that are deceived tonight. There's millions of people that think they're right, that think they're going to go to heaven, that think that everything is just the way it ought to be, that's going to deal with the fact in the day that they die or get killed that they're not right. They're deceived. And you know who's deceived them? Babbling, preachers, people. Lots of preachers out there. Listen, do you know why the multitude of people today, you hear the thought or the saying basically that everybody goes to heaven anymore. No matter who they are and they die, it's just they go to heaven. You know why that is? I'll tell you why it is. And for the basic fact that Babbling has let the standard down of going to heaven so low that it doesn't matter who you are, you just go to heaven. I'm going to tell you, it's higher than that. It's a high standard, and it's a high calling. It's a high way. And so consequently, if people have let that standard down, that anybody goes to heaven, I read in the paper and obituaries all the time. So-and-so passed away and entered into the joys of the Lord. That's over and over. They might live like the devil, been an alcoholic and so forth, but the bottom line, according to that, they went right on to heaven. Maybe they did, but maybe they didn't. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord's going to enter in. That's what the Lord said. So Lord, help us tonight. We hear of, there's wars and there's rumors of wars. See, be not troubled. It said here that and nations shall rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and be famines and pestilences and earthquakes. Listen, Oklahoma was struck with more earthquakes. We had more going than California did. They've got that calmed down because it all seemed to be to do with the oil industry and the way they were drilling and pumping salt water and all this stuff. All that was together. But the bottom line is, it's all around. You and I are hearing these things. We're seeing this thing. We're looking at it and seeing it. And so consequently, don't let yourself say, this is not it. One person said one time, told me personally, well, my mother, I'd say it was. She said, son, I've heard preaching about the end of time all my life, but it's never come. That don't mean it's not going to come. She might hear it, heard it all of her life. She was 80 or 81 when she died. But the bottom line is, I believe there will be a judgment someday, because this Word says so. And I know by my connection with God in Christ, my calling and my burden for souls, I know that one day it's all going to wrap up and it's all going to be over. But the bottom line is, are you ready? Lord, help us tonight to be ready. All right, the 32nd verse of this chapter. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled. Now tonight, if it's even at the doors, how close is it? If you had somebody knocking on your door, what would you do? Well, somebody's at the door, better go see who it is. It's close, isn't it? It's right there. The bottom line is, folks, tonight, the judgment, I believe, is right at the door. It's very, very close. How much longer it's going to go, I don't know. But the bottom line is, the Word of God says, you and I need to be careful. We need to be ready. In watching, people watch all kind of things. Birds, whales, tornadoes. I have tornado storm chasers in Oklahoma and other places. Hurricanes. You got the stock market. People watch people. They watch animals. They watch marine life. They watch houses and developments. They are air traffic control, planes, sunset, sunrise, and ball game. People see and watch everything. But the bottom line is, are we watching the right thing? I want to beg you tonight, it's time to pull our minds in. It's time to get out of the dumps and the sloughs of despond and sin, and it's time to open our minds up to what really matters, and that is eternity. We have these meetings for the glory of God and to the good of souls, and we're not here playing games. I'm not anyway, and I don't think there's any other preacher here doing that. I believe we're here for the good of your soul, and tonight it's time for you to wake up. It's time to consider. It's time to weigh. It's time to think. Are you ready? Are you watching the wrong thing? Are you going the wrong direction? It's time to get a handle on it and sit yourself down and say, I'm in the wrong and I need some help. A lot of people just going on their way. You know, tonight you can't watch an earthquake. And what I mean by that is you can't predict when it's going to be. When that one hit us in 2011, I think it was, I'd heard of them. But I'd never had one. Never been in one, that's the way to put it. And we were in the bathroom there, and Rebecca Ann was fixing to walk out in the bedroom, and I was brushing my teeth, I think it was. And all of a sudden, I heard a kaboom right over here. I thought, what's that? We looked at one another, and all of a sudden, things started shaking. And she got to watching a big bookcase that I got, and that thing was just going like this, and I got to looking at things in the bathroom, and they was going all kind of which ways. And it didn't last very long, but it was scary. You can't tell when those things are going to happen. We've had about two more at least, I believe, that was in the 5-0 range or better. One preacher in here called me on one of them. He said, "Did you feel that?" I said, "Yes, sir, I did." It's no fun. Brother Herschel Hargraves was in a place one time, and he was in a huge building, kind of an airplane hangar type deal. And of course, they had them big old beams up there. And he said when them beams started moving back and forth and doing all kind of things, he said, "Boys, I got scared and I got out of there." It's scary. It's scary. But there ain't going to be nothing that's going to get your attention greater than dealing with God. That the deal to step out in and to meet Him face to face and to not be ready. I'm going to tell you, there ain't anything going to match that right there. Oh, tonight, are we watching? Are we looking? All right, let's go back to the 44th verse of this chapter. And I want to get into my burden. You pray for it. He said, 43rd said, "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. And would have not broken his, not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." The bottom line is, He's speaking to every one of us individually. This is an individual salvation. This is an individual dealing with God. I like what Brother Ivan said, that preacher told that other person. You know, this time draw as close to God as you can. That goes to all of us, whether we're sick or we're not. It's time to get close to God. You're dealing with death. You're dealing with eternity. You don't know when it's going to be. It could happen at any minute. There could be people die before the service is over right here tonight. They've happened. They passed away right in our services at Monarch, Oklahoma City. One fine brother was sitting in his chair and he just head dropped forward. He's dead. Just like that. Another person died of a heartache at Monarch. I didn't know her. That was before my time. But there have been different people that died quickly. Listen tonight. You and I are going to deal with death one way or another. We're going to deal with pain and with anger. We might have a chance to get right. We might have a chance to pray, but we might not too. You don't have an absolute from God saying, "Well, I'm going to give you 30 hours to pray." You may not have any time. There have been thousands and thousands of people that's died today. And I'd say some of them never had a chance to pray. They died so quickly in a car wreck or from a gunshot. And listen, folks, today it's getting where you can't hardly go anywhere. They're shooting them in malls. They're shooting them in churches. They're shooting them on the street. They're shooting them in bars. They're shooting them at the big Dale out there in Las Vegas. You people can go anywhere. Who would have thought years ago, Brother Michael, that there'd be gunmen going into a synagogue or going into a regular place of worship and opening the gun and killing 20 or 30 or 40 people? Who would ever thought of such and like that? I'm going to tell you where this thing come from. I'm going to tell you, I believe, the bottom line of it. They want to blame the guns. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. And let me tell you what. I'd love to stand in front of the Supreme Court and I'd say, "Men, the blood of this whole thing is riding right on your shoulders. When you pull prayer out of school, when you pull Bible reading out of school, when you said take the Ten Commandments down, when you started doing those things, folks, everything started going the wrong way. And it's still going the wrong way. I'm going to tell you tonight, Lord help us. It's time to wake up, folks. It's time to look. It's time to consider. It's time to think about where we're going, what we're doing, and how bad this situation is. It is a bad situation, and it's only getting worse." You may be going to work and get shot in your car. The first mass shooting, basically, about the first that happened was at Edmond, Oklahoma. About 6 miles where I used to live, the post office. About 30-something years ago. And a gunman got mad, and he took a gun and he went in there and he killed a number of people. They was running and screaming and hollering. My mailman that personally delivered my mail was 2 weeks away from retiring. He ran out of the building. He ran out and he went up under a car, laid down and slipped up under a car, and the gunman happened to see him and laid down and opened fire and killed him right there. It never happened to me. Can you guarantee yourself that? Can you guarantee me that? You can die just like anybody else. God don't tell you when you're going to die, and God don't tell you how you're going to die. Look at those wildfires in California. They said that one, the campfire one that they're calling in Northern California, that thing happened so fast and so furious that the firefighters had never seen anything like it. They was just trying to get people out because the flames were rolling and the fire was building so fast they couldn't do anything with it. Brother Marty tells about two men, wasn't it, or three men that was going down a road one morning early, I think, from work, going back home, and going 55 miles an hour, and a tree busted and fell down and hit the car and killed both of them right there. Who would have thought of such a thing? I'm going to tell you tonight, be therefore ready, for you know not when the Son of Man cometh. You know not when you're going to meet Him. You know not what's going to happen. You don't know how you're going to die. I'm going to tell you tonight, there's one thing, you will die someday. And it could be today. It could be tomorrow. God is having mercy on everyone in here tonight. He's dealing with us tonight. We've got a chance tonight to consider and weigh. I'm begging you, don't keep turning Him down. If He's been calling, if He's been dealing, if He's been working with you, it's time to consider God. He died for you. He gave His life. He shed His blood. He went through all the pain and the anguish so that He could help you to be saved.